May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 561. Jesus our heavenly warrior is, he fights our battles well. His wisdom, love and power displays, and conquers death and hell. Hymn 561.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read a portion from the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John and the book of the Revelation, chapter 12. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 12. Commence reading at verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. We turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and may he grant us prayer. O Lord, we do seek thy blessing here this evening, that thou wouldst be with us graciously and mercifully. Thou art in this place, for thou art in all places. But what we want to feel and plead for is thy saving presence. Lord, we would see Jesus. We do need to see thee, Lord. We're such sinners, and thou art the only Saviour. Lord, a sight of thee would melt our hearts. It alone would conquer the power of sin. Oh Lord, it would raise our souls above the ground. Oh, do grant it. Holy Spirit of truth, do descend upon us. We confess we have grieved thee. Lord, even this day, surely we have. Thou knowest where we felt it. Lord, have mercy. Forgive, we beseech thee. Deal not with us after our sins. Hide not thy face far from us. Grant us grace to return to thee with weeping and with supplications. O Lord, we would be found at thy feet as that woman was. Do make our eyes a sluice, as hers were, sufficient tears, Lord, to wash thy feet with. Oh, she loved much. Oh, that thy love were now shed abroad in these hearts of ours, that we might love thee much. Oh, do grant it, we pray. Oh, Lord, do come and speak to us. Come, Lord, and open to us the Scriptures. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, we pray we may know thee as our Lord. More and more, reigning over us. Making thyself our king. I will be thy king, thou said. O Lord, thy servant, the psalmist said, thou art my king. O Lord, command deliverances for Jacob. O Lord, thou knowest those that wait on thee, those that look up to thee. 'Tis because thou hast looked down upon them. 'Tis because thine arm has been made bare on their behalf to cause them to look up. Thou knowest those whose eyes are upon thee as the eyes of a maid upon her mistress and the servant upon his lord. Till thou look down and have mercy. Oh, may tonight be the appointed time, if it would please thee, to look down and have mercy. O Lord, thou knowest the cases thy people bring with them into thy house. They carry those cases about with them. Lord, the plague of their own heart that Solomon spoke of. O Lord, oh, do grant, we pray, that healing. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair. And Saviour, we are such. O Lord, be pleased in this means here this evening to grant thy grace. They may truly be the means of grace to thy people this evening. Please thee through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Oh, do be our sufficiency in speaking and in hearing each part. Oh Lord, we pray thy rich blessing on thy people. Lord, that thou wouldst grant them eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Lord, what better blessing? There is no better blessing. There is no greater blessing than we could seek for ourselves or for this people.
Oh, do grant it. Lord, the reign of thy grace, that where sin abounds, grace may much more abound. Oh, Lord, oh, that we might truly be in that path we've read of, Lord Jesus, and thine own words this evening. If any man serve him, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. O Lord, draw us. Lord, that we might be in our measure in this world, even as thou wast when thou wast in it. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In it, but not of it. Having that meat to eat that the world knoweth not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. O Lord, make us real pilgrims. Leave us not, Lord, to have our rest here. Leave us not, Lord, to have our portion here. Sanctify to us all the things that are upon us. But, O Lord, do thyself. Reveal thyself. Do thyself reign in us. Lord, that we might be new creatures. Thou didst say, Lord, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Oh, Lord, we pray for that sanctifying. Lord, we by nature are of the world. Thy people still have it about them and will have till thou dost separate their soul from their body. And then in a resurrection raise their body. And O Lord, we pray. Grant, we beseech thee. The indwelling of Christ by faith. Here below. Oh, that it might be clear. Whose we are. And whom we serve. O Lord, what a blessed man was thy servant Daniel. O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God in thy service continually, able to deliver thee? And the mouth of the lions, O King, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths. O Lord, make us thy servants, as thou didst make Daniel. We pray for help in each one's path, upholding under the difficulties, the afflictions, the weakness, the trials, the burdens. O Lord, do give wisdom to direct our way, strength to do thy will. Do perfect that which concerneth us each. Lord, do help us to pray our way through our days and nights. O Lord, to depend wholly on thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that our troubles may be thus sanctified to us. Good for me, that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. O Lord, we pray. Oh, do grant it. Help in the families, we pray for our dear young people. We pray for them, the salvation of their souls, thy guidance and provision for them in life's pathway. Thou hast given them the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Thou wouldst favour them with a gift of prayer, and that which must surely follow, answers. O Lord, help those who now are in perplexity, now are in trouble, yet to call upon thee. And the trouble that is continued, still to call. Lord, do help thy people. Do deliver them. Do make bare thine arm on their behalf, to the good of their souls and the deliverance of them. We pray for this church here. Do bless the deacons. Help them personally, bless them, and make them a blessing by thy workmanship upon them, in them, making them thy workmanship, enabling them to use the office of a deacon well, and so purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith. Bind together the church closer and closer in Christ. We thank thee for the addition that's granted and pray thy blessing and help for our young friend. Oh, do sustain him. Oh, Lord, do maintain him. Bless him and make him a blessing, a strength, a pillar in thy church. We pray, Lord, we ask for this work. So many pillars have been removed, Lord, through Zion. She is weaker. Oh, according to thy will, where it has pleased thee to maintain thy church, where thou hast yet a work to accomplish, we pray for the establishment of pillars, upright, on the fear of the Lord and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, on the rock foundation. Oh, we pray for those that are buffeted. The time of trial. Lord, hold them up. Lord, who be their strength. We ask now the forgiveness of all that one has asked amiss. We pray for a thankful heart for all thy mercy. Hast not dealt with us after our sins. We thank thee for that. Thy kind, merciful, abundant provision. Thy forbearance. But above all, Lord, thy word. Thy Son. The incarnate word. The word made flesh. And the word of thy grace. The written word. Where thou hast spoken it, Lord, to any of us, where thou hast given us a word to hope upon. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Make us prize it more. Give us more grace in reading it. We pray, help us now. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
In 471, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Hymn 471.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to the book of the Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And I overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. All saving religion consists in revelation. And what a revelation was this that John had when he was exiled upon the Isle of Patmos. The revelation of Jesus Christ. But he had revealed to him the wonders of his person, the wonders of his work. He had revealed to him that which is yet to be made fully known to the church. The consummation of all that which God has appointed in his Son. Oh, the eternal casting out forever and ever into outer darkness of the devil and his angels. The gathering together in one of all the election of grace. To be with Christ, which is far better. But here in this chapter, he had the revelation of several wonders. The first wonder was this woman clothed with the sun. That evidently sets forth the church. The sun speaks of her bride, her bridegroom, Christ, the Son of Righteousness. And that is how the bride appears in God's eye. And that is how she will be in glory forever and ever, clothed with the sun. The glory which thou gavest me, said Christ to his Father, I have given them. It is yet to be fully revealed. But it is known in some measure by the church here below. The second wonder. This red dragon, the devil, Satan. And he made war in heaven. There was that war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Oh, what wondrous words. And prevailed not. And the verse I've named as a text gives the reason why the devil prevailed not. It wasn't the strength of Michael, the angels. It was the strength of the Son of God. The Father says, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. Now, that might was given to those that fought against the dragon. Paul says in one place, we are his workmanship. The portion, isn't it, for today, in one of the books of Mr. Philpott's portion. Everything that is right, everything that is good, everything that is acceptable to God
in his people. Every ounce of strength, every sight of things rightly, all that is good, all that is prevailing, is wrought by God. We are his workmanship. And so it was with Michael and those angels. But then, you see, Satan the devil was cast out of heaven under this earth. And he still goes up and down in this earth. Do you remember? That's what we read in the beginning of the book of Job. Satan was asked, from whence comest thou? From walking up and down in the earth. Oh, my dear friend, he is in our pathway every day, setting snares, alluring, attracting, deceiving, blinding, corrupting. He blinds the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into their hearts. He knoweth that he hath but a short time. He casts forth this flood that he might sweep away that woman, the church of God. But he shall not, for God giveth her these wings, the wings of faith. The language that is spoken here, given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. For that is where she finds her beloved. That's where she finds her place of refuge, in the wilderness. Or when she is called out by Christ to where he is. The wilderness. What a wilderness this world was to Christ. He had nowhere to lay his head in this world. It was not his home. His home was where he came from. He came from his home to this foreign land. The land that he had made, the earth that he had made. He trod it. But he was not of it. My kingdom, he says, is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. She is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. The Lord says in his word, I'll feed you, O flock of slaughter. Yes, he feeds this flock of slaughter. For his sake they are killed all the day long. Nay, in all these things they are more than conquerors. How? Why, being brought again and again as a freshly slain sinner, feelingly in their soul's feelings, and often under outward oppression, brought to Christ. Oh, thou afflicted and tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy foundations with sapphires, thy gates of carbuncles, thy windows of agates, and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And John said, I heard a loud voice, saying in heaven, now is come salvation. And strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Oh, but this is to be known by the Lord's people in their experience. And when the Holy Spirit shows them this, And the Holy Spirit kindly takes the veil away and breathes the living word and shows them Christ by living faith. Then is come to them salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and of his Christ. When the accuser, when their accuser, who accused them before God day and night, is cast out, on what ground does the adversary accuse the church of God? It's the law of God itself. Oh, then what a strong accusation. What strong charges. And so that one that knows this, that one who Satan attacks in this way, under the Lord's permission, under the Lord's overruling, so it will work together for good in the end. Why, that one feels not to have in themselves an answer to the accusations of Satan. When Satan says how, you know how you love my service. When Satan says, oh, you are quite unable to keep the law of God. When Satan points out what breaches of the law you commit, his purpose is to bring that sinner to despair. Oh, how solemnly he succeeded with Judas Iscariot. And how solemnly he succeeds with many. And it is only because of the covenant love of God. It is only because God loves his own with an everlasting love and has covenanted to save them that Satan doesn't get everyone like this. God is the only defense against Satan. There is none other. Because the work he effected in tempting us in Adam into sin was so complete. We are by nature completely ruined. He has that in us now that Satan does that he can so easily manipulate and control and continue us in. What did Jeremiah say? Oh, what deceit Satan wrought when he deceived us in Adam. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see this flood that the adversary sends forth, seeking to sweep away the church, the elect. It is not just a flood of his roarings. No. If anything, the Church of God proved that he's more dangerous when he comes as an angel of light. An angel of light. He can quote scripture in such a way that he's tempting men and women to hold the word of God in unrighteousness, not to hold it in faith, not to have it blessedly applied to their hearts with saving power and light and application by the Holy Spirit. But he tempts them to take hold of it in their own strength and put their own interpretations upon it, so that they can hold the word of God but be his servant, Satan's servant. Search me, O God, said David, and try me. Know my heart and my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, to try to come to the words of the text. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Christ is the only one who could and did defeat Satan. In this he was his Father's servant. Behold my servant. You see, the Father himself could not do it. He did it by his Son. So when I say the Father could not do it, I'm not seeking to divide the Trinity. No. The mystery. The Father and the Son are one with the Holy Spirit. One God. Three persons. But how was it the Son could do it where the Father couldn't? The Son was made man without sin. Where then Adam, the first man that was made actually by God, where he fell, where he failed, Christ stood. That was the only way Satan could be defeated, because God is just. In the economy of the gospel, that full and free salvation is a complete fulfillment of the will and the law of God. There is no compromise, but a complete fulfillment. Justice and mercy meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. And it is in that where the church fell, Christ on their behalf stood. And that could only be in him being mysteriously and incomprehensibly made man without sin. This is the man-child that Revelation 12 speaks of. The woman that brought forth that man-child that was to rule the world, the earth with a rod of iron. In being made under the law, the Son of God, blessedly, as only he could, fulfilled it. You see, he never ceased to be God. That was why he could stand against the devil in his temptations. That was why the devil could not succeed in getting him to disbelieve the truth. That is why the devil could not succeed in getting him to do what he wanted. Spotless, innocent and pure, the great Redeemer stood. That's what we don't do. We don't stand. Are you feelingly aware of that? Day after day, hour after hour, left to yourself, do you stand? When this temptation is put before you, do you of yourself stand? Or do you go along with it? Left to yourself, you go along with it. Because standing is that which alone Christ could do. Blessed be God, he did. Spotless, innocent and pure, the great Redeemer stood. On Satan's fiery darts he bore, and did resist to blood. But then in that keeping of that holy law, that obedience, he could only render that obedience in being under it. If he were not under it, that obedience couldn't be required of him. He could not be under it, except he be truly man. But he could not fulfill it, except he be pure, holy. He could not be fulfill it, except he be God. This is the blessedness of the person of Christ. But oh, then, in giving himself the sacrifice for sin, the blood of the Lamb the text speaks of, the Lamb, he's given that name to signify several things. Firstly, it signifies his blessed nature. Oh, the meekness of Christ, the lowliness. David says in Psalm 18, he's near the end of his days, and he is in the day when the Lord delivered him out of the hand of Saul and out of the hand of all of his enemies. And one of the things he says is this, thy gentleness hath made me great. But the principle, reason why Christ is the Lamb of God, is because he is the Father's appointed sacrifice for sin. The antitype, what all those Jewish lambs that were sacrificed, their blood shed and put in a basin and sprinkled, the cleansing, the Passover and the cleansing. Oh, that which those lambs pointed to. Oh, the blessed Lamb of God. Abraham saw my day, said Christ. He saw it and was glad. Of you? Have you seen Christ's day? Abraham, by the Holy Spirit, he saw him as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. That which was yet to be actually manifest. Have you, as the hymn writer put it, looked back to see the burdens he did bear when hanging on the accursed tree, and hopes her guilt was there. Favoured soul. That was the time when the accuser of the brethren was cast out, wasn't it? Which accused you before God day and night. You couldn't find any other ground on which the accuser of the brethren could be cast out. You tried to find it. You tried to find sufficient repentance so that this repentance would cast out the accuser. You try to find sufficient softness. You try to find sufficient duties. You try to find sufficient faith in your own heart. You couldn't find it because God was at work in you. You were already the beginning of his workmanship in the, oh, you continually failed. You continually came short of the glory of God. But oh, what a day was that. Some of you here, I believe, have known it. What a day was that. Just mind the place, the spot of ground where Jesus did thee meet. Oh, when he appeared. The Lamb of God. John said, didn't he, as he looked upon Jesus as he walked, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And later on the next day, I believe it was, when he repeated virtually the same words, we read, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. That's the effect. That was the effect, wasn't it? Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Have you ever been drawn unto Christ? It was when he was lifted up, wasn't it? It was when the Holy Spirit took of the things of Jesus and revealed them to you. The eye of faith. You'd heard about him, you'd read about him, you'd heard many sermons about him, perhaps. But that auspicious day, and those glimpses since then, an appointed time, a set time to favour Zion, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by faith in that blood. That's what's essential. That is how salvation is known and felt and realised. We're not saved by feelings. No. The salvation is by the blood of the Lamb. But, you see, whenever that blood is applied, oh, it is something felt and known, isn't it? Joseph Hart says, real religion is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. Known and felt. Oh, the effect, that mysterious thing, faith, has in a poor sinner's heart. It is a mystery. You can't explain faith. You can't produce it. You can't see how it comes. It is the work of God. They that worship me, says, they that worship him, speaking of his Father, said Christ, must worship him in spirit and in truth. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. But you see, I believe we may rightly speak in accordance with the Scripture, and we can't speak rightly any other way, of there being steps in this overcoming of the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. Because in this war in heaven, there were steps in it, weren't there? The battle began, and it wasn't won immediately. And so it is with the Lord's people. The battle begins as soon as faith is given. But the victory isn't given as soon as faith is given. No, it is sure. There is the earnest of it, but the poor sinner hasn't received the victory. What is the beginning of the work of this faith in the blood of the Lamb? It's the pleading of it. A real pleading of it. And I don't mean just having it on your lips. No, that's not pleading it. Oh, you know, we may not have any words on our lips. Indeed, if we may speak of it like this, if we think of the movements of the soul, the desires of the soul, in the pleading of that blood in the innermost soul, there may not even be the mentioning of it in the name, but there is that looking to him who is set before them in the word. He who reveals himself in his word. He who the Father, by the blessed Spirit of God, directs a poor, sensible sinner to. Oh, when the Father says of this one, behold, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from among the people. When it is declared to the heart by God that this is his way of saving sinners. This is his way of a people being righteous. This is his way of a people being sinless, spotless, undefiled. This is his way of saving sinners from going down into the pit. I found a ransom. And the beginning then of this fight of faith that will end in victory is the looking and the pleading. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And I believe we may speak in that person's experience of some measure of relief being given, particularly at certain times. Why, surely if a person has been feeling in the place where their sins make their case appear surely hopeless, when their wickedness, when their unrighteousness, when their utterly lost and dead and ruined condition make that sinner come to the very brink of despair, and they have feelingly no hope, nowhere to look, when the Holy Spirit lifts up a standard against Satan and points out that place where grace abounds, and that sinner finds, with regard to them, there is a possibility of being saved. Because God saith in his word, he saves sinners through the sacrifice of his Son, through those tremendous, immeasurable sufferings, and by the shedding of that precious blood, and that it is all his gift that he does so, not because the sinner deserves it, but for his name's sake. Why, if faith is given in that one, surely there's at least a who can tell. Surely where there was no hope, there's hope given. And Paul speaks of this hope, doesn't he? Hope that is seen is not hope. That is the thing that hope looks for. It's not yet seen. Oh, my soul's forgiveness, my soul's cleansing, my soul's landing in heaven, my soul's justification, it's not yet seen, it hasn't yet appeared. But the word spoken by the Spirit gives that sinner hope, and it's an anchor. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And all that anchor does enter within the veil. Oh, it's not in anything on this earth, is it? No, it's in the eternal covenant of God. It's in the eternal Son of God. It's in the purpose of the Father, and it's in the work of the Holy Ghost. But it's all treasured up in Christ, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, and which enters within the veil. And they overcame him. They overcame him. But then, my mind goes to Joshua the high priest in the Old Testament. Satan stood at his right hand, accusing him. He was clothed in filthy garments. Every one of these who overcomes by the blood of the Lamb is clothed in filthy garments before they overcome. Each of them are made feelingly before God to abhor themselves, to feel the filth. The garments set forth all one's own doings, one's own righteousness. All our righteousness, said the church, is as filthy rags. Oh, my dear friend, pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, for that is the way into this blessing of overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. When he is come, he will convince the world of sin. What, none but Almighty God the Spirit can convince us of it. But that convinced sinner is the very character that God will make an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb. Because it's only convinced sinners that need that blood applied. He's only convinced sinners that need that full and free salvation that is set forth in this blood of the Lamb. He's only sinners that haven't got an offering of their own, that need God's offering, Christ's offering. It's when you haven't got an offering of your own, when you haven't got anything good to give to God, that is when you're taught that. Oh, I hope and trust I know something of what I'm speaking about. Would to God I knew more of it. But what a place to be in when you've tried to be so good, when you've tried to come to God with something acceptable and you keep failing. Oh, what a day when the Lord sets a poor sinner on praying ground, sets a poor sinner looking to this blood of the Lamb, not looking to be better in themselves. Well, how was that poor man, Joshua, delivered? The angel of the Lord said, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. The Lord of the chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee." Is not this a brand plucked out of the burning? A chosen vessel of mercy. A brand. Why? He was in the burning. He was in that broadway that leads to destruction. He's in that place the Lord speaks of in Ezekiel, polluted in his own blood. Oh, he's in that place Elihu speaks of in that chapter in the book of Job. He draweth near unto the grave and his life to the destroyers. He's a perishing one, feelingly in his soul. My dear friend, it's another step, it's another point from the scripture concerning these overcomers. They're all brands plucked out of the burning. They're made to feel that hell must be their portion. Have you ever felt that? Deservedly so. And you know, a brand that's in the burning can't get itself out of the burning. It's helpless. Plucked out of the burning. The Lord putting forth his hand. Oh, the child of God that has striven and striven to get themselves out of the burning. But they cannot. The Lord coming and putting forth his hand and plucking him. Pull his polluted garments off. Clothe him in change of raiment. Put a fair mitre upon his head. He's got a completely different appearance because he's a completely different person. He's a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. He's now a priest. Not the priest, no. But he is now a priest. God has sat as a refiner. Christ has sat as a refiner and purifier of silver, that he may purify the sons of Levi, that they may offer an offering in righteousness. The sacrifices of God, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou not despise. You see, he's a priest in that way. All through his great high priest, through his work in him, through his grace in him, oh, there's this offering, a broken and a contrite heart. And God doesn't despise it, for it's his sacrifice. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It's so vicarious, it's so efficacious. It was shed for sin. A fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. and all that fountain, the Lamb of God, this man hath done nothing amiss. The blood of the Son of God cleanseth from all sin. Oh, go back to that point I just briefly hinted on just now. No compromise in this. Oh, what that blood meant. Much we talk of it, but how little is understood. 'Tis to God and God alone that those sufferings of his Son are fully known. Oh, but they were efficacious sufferings. Oh, for a view like this, I sometimes brought to this, my dear friend, concerning the sins I'm convicted of day after day. Oh, if indeed I'm an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb, my Redeemer bore those sins. If we were blessed with a view of this, my dear friend, it would make sin exceedingly sinful. Oh, it makes us poor sinner abhor sin. Oh, it gives you that fear of it. Forgiveness of sin never leads to licentiousness. And how does it not lead to licentiousness? Because the forgiveness of sin, when it is conveyed, is conveyed in the view of how God forgives sin. Through those deep sufferings of his Son. And if you have that view, how could you harbour in your breast the sin that made the Saviour bleed? Woe unto us, alas! May Lord the Lord save us from that unfeelingness, that unbelief, that causes us to harbour in our breast the sin that made the Saviour bleed. They overcame him then. A spoken pardon. An applied blessing. Oh, those prayers answered. Those pleas in the name, the pleas for this blood answered. Faith increased to the point where a sinner gets at least a glimpse, and that glimpse makes him an overcomer. And when I search to find my sins can ne'er be found. But then, you see, they overcame. It's not only the guilt of sin, it's the power of it. I've really touched on this in some measure already. But they overcame. Oh, as God mercifully, and this blessing flows through this blood, this blessing flows through that one channel, mercifully convinces that sinner of the power of sin in their life, and mercifully works in that sinner a desire that sin shouldn't have dominion over them. One of the ways in which the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against the flood, when the enemy comes in like a flood, is in convincing of sin. Because the flood has this effect, dulling every conviction of sin. The flood has this effect, making great sin, and all sin is great, appear little. It doesn't matter, says Satan. You're a poor sinner, you can't help it. That's not the work of the Spirit, is it? It's the work of the devil. So it's the work of the Spirit when, oh, he convinces you of it and leads you to plead that name and that blood for defence and deliverance, as Tot Lady put it, from the power of sin as well as from the guilt of it. They overcame him through the blood of the Lamb. It's the same overcoming. It's overcoming by the same blessed person through the same sacrifice. It's not a different way. The power of sin isn't conquered in a different way to the guilt of sin is conquered. No, because that sacrifice dealt with sin. And nothing else could deal with sin. Nothing else could put it away. And so in your life, sin are those besetting sins that Paul speaks of. The sin that does so easily beset us. He says, lay it aside. How, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, all those daily, as the Lord gives it, please, for victory over that, that Paul says in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am. And what gives you any victory, child of God? Is it not this blood of the Lamb? Oh, when faith is lifted at the highest, she sings of number him. And by the word of their testimony. Their testimony is the testimony of Jesus Christ. We read of it in the last verse of this chapter. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, it's a testimony that they're given. A testimony is a personal declaration of something. And you see, these can give that testimony of faith. Because Christ is the author of that faith in their soul. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my strength, my high tower, my deliverer. That's the testimony. And it's the testimony of faith. It's not just a person saying it, is it? It's the testimony of the soul. And you see, if the Lord has given you faith, there's a testimony of it. And we shouldn't think of testimonies as only being what people say. There's a testimony in somebody's walk. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. The testimony of that wise man who built his house on the rock. Christ, seeking for that. Seeking for that deliverance by him. Seeking for myself to be put on that rock, Christ Jesus. And by the word of their testimony, why, the Lord himself helping them. Oh, we think of those times when the Lord's people have been enabled to come before the church of God and give a testimony. Oh, if they went rightly, yeah, they went tremblingly. They went feelingly dependent on the Lord to give them that testimony. They knew that unless the Lord helped them, they wouldn't be able to speak to his honour and glory. They knew if he didn't help them, their tongue would be tied and their heart would be bound. But when the Lord does help, who has the honour? Who has the glory? Christ. The word of their testimony then is the work of Christ. That's why they're made overcomers through that. By the word of their testimony. Oh, it was by the word of Christ that Satan was defeated in the wilderness, wasn't it? It's by the word of Christ in this believer's experience. Oh, but how they have to beg for this testimony. They prove it won't do for me to try saying of myself what Christ said. It won't do for me of myself to say in reply to Satan's temptations, it is written. But when Christ, they ask for that deliverance, they ask for that faith to enable them to say it is written. And when Christ shows them it's written, when he in some measure appears unto them and he is the word, then they're enabled to say it is written. Thou saidst, I will surely do thee good. And they love not their lives unto the death. We read in that portion this evening, John 12, the words of the Lord Jesus that speak of this work in his people. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Christ loved not his life unto the death. That is, he resisted against sin, even unto death. Paul says to those in the Hebrews, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Some of those that he wrote to, it is likely they had to actually die the martyr's death. But not all the Lord's people suffer that in an outward sense. But Joseph Hart says, they each know martyrdom within. Oh, that inward death. Day after day, they're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. They love not their life. That is, they love not themselves. They have an abhorrence of themselves. Why? Because they have the Spirit of Christ, in some measure, which hates sin. And self is sinful, so they hate self. The world, full of sin, Antichrist, completely opposed to Christ, completely opposite to his word. And because the Lord has granted them this grace, they love not this world. John says in his epistle, doesn't he? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. They love not their lives unto the death. The cross. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Oh, this is how the believer enters into life. He enters into life by death. We which live, says Paul, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal bodies. They love not their lives unto the death. Why the Lord giving them grace? Why that rather than have life and know Christ, they would rather die to have him. And this comes into things in a believer's pathway, where the word of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the blessing that Christ has given in giving himself, it has this effect of making them choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, having respect to the recompense of the reward. Oh, this is what makes a believer love not their lives unto the death. Why? They look beyond the death. They look beyond this seeming loss and see this seeming loss as a gain. He that will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. He who has God for his friend, who has Christ for that friend that loveth at all times, he can't expect to have the world as his friend too. To lose himself in Jesus, quite, they love not their lives. It's the love of Christ that does it. That's the way the Lord causes a sinner to fall out of love with something else. He gives himself. Paul, speaking of heaven, speaking of that which he had a blessed hope of, yea, even an assurance of entering into, he says to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, when have you, child of God, really loved not your life unto the death? But when the love of Christ was shed abroad in your heart, you didn't want life. Everything lost its attraction. All those days, some of us look back to them. Oh, they were good days. We say oftentimes, as Job did, oh, that it were with me as in days past. Oh, for those revivals of it. They love not their lives unto the death. Because what do their lives, when we speak of self and the world and all the things that occupy us to the things of time and sense, what do? They separate us from our beloved. And if you really love Christ, you'll hate what separates you from him. They love not their lives. I think of Samuel Rutherford, oh, that I'd not of myself, but Christ. Not of my will, but Christ. Not of my lust, but Christ. They love not their lives unto the death. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ramsbottom will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Hadley on Tuesday evening next week. And you might like to know that Benji and I visited Mr. Crowther today. He was quite poorly, but he was able to speak much of what the Lord had done for him and what he felt the Lord would do for him. And he sent his love to all the friends at Swaversea. Let us close with hymn 1007. Stand up, my soul, shake off thy fears, and gird the gospel armour on. March to the gates of endless joy, where thy great captain, Saviour's gone. Hymn 1007.
Dear Lord, do bless to us thy word. Forgive what has been amiss. Keep us safe as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.